Blizzard makes PC gamers squeal with Diablo 3, and we take a look at Guitar Hero on Tour and The World Ends With You for the DS. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of June 29th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Reliable site. That's what they call themselves. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you are joining us here on All Games Radio, thank you. And welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It is up, chat.allgames.com. I will be reading comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, all one word, or 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us on the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address, or you can leave me a voicemail on that Skype line. So people have probably noticed that this weekend, there was another site outage over at All Games. We were up for a good week, and apparently a virus struck the IIS, the Microsoft IIS server, that we are still using to host our website while we were waiting for Scott Rubin to get back from his movie gig so we could move off of it to a new server. And apparently a virus hit it Saturday night and messed it up pretty bad before their virus scanner actually caught it. So our site's down, and I don't know if it's coming back up. I don't know what data was lost, if any. We do have some recent backups, but they're not obviously up to date, up to the minute backup. So we're hoping our MySQL databases are going to still be there when they come back. I hope the virus didn't hit them. We have all the files, where that's not a big deal. And actually, our RSS feeds were still up, so you're still able to get to podcasts. But ReliableSite.net, not so reliable. This time it wasn't our fault. I don't think we got hacked. I think they just got to the machine that we were on. And maybe the ISP just didn't update it enough, left a back door open, or had some hole open in IIS, which happens a lot with IIS and Windows products when you're trying to run a server. I love Windows for gaming. I run Windows here on my laptop, on my desktop, but for a server, I personally run FreeBSD, but you know any Linux variant will do. But ReliableSite.net, not so reliable, and hopefully we've already purchased the new dedicated server. We're just waiting for it to get set up. So hopefully by midweek we'll be on a newer server, alone, better server, running Linux, and all will be good. And hopefully all this website stuff will be behind us, and I won't have to worry every day if the website's going to be up. AllGamesRadio.com is actually still up. If you are wanting to hear, whenever AllGames.com is down, go over to AllGamesRadio.com, and that actually does play the stream. So you can still listen to our live program, and the chat room's still up at chat.allgames.com. And no, Pen15 asked, Scott's going to be in a movie. No, he worked on a movie. People who don't listen to All Games Interactive probably don't know this. He was actually like one of the producers or something of a movie up in Rhode Island. And so he was one of the behind-the-scenes guys and actually worked for 2 weeks, like 20-hour days. He's exhausted. But AGI should be returning this week. I don't think it'll be Monday. I'm not sure. But he was working on that, and unfortunately, he was leaving for Rhode Island the day after our site got hacked. So it's kind of like it bookended. Like, when he got home, we were going to go buy the dedicated server, and that's when the site went down again. So we can't get a break on the site. Indo says, web host running IIS, that is your problem. I completely agree. So, also, one other thing is if I tend to not try to talk about myself or the show all that much on the show, other than when the site's down like that, and I apologize. But I do want to say that I'm going to be on, I know one episode, I don't know if they're going to split it up into two episodes, of a podcast called Mostly ITP, which stands for Inside the Perimeter. It's in Atlanta, local Atlanta jargon. perimeter, the perimeter being I-285, which is this big circle around Atlanta, so you can go around Atlanta. Anyway, it's on the Georgia Podcast Network, gapodcastnetwork.com. I met with Rusty Tanton, who also is one of the people who runs the Georgia Podcast Network, and we talked about my show, the basically what I do here, talk a little bit about All Games, but also talked a little bit about the local game development scene in Georgia, as well as some of the politics behind gaming and some of the other things that are going on, a lot of the misconceptions. Their audience is mostly non-gamers, so it's kind of phrased in a way that, you know, hopefully a non-gamer would understand. But we touch on several different topics, like the Mass Effect controversy, like Grand Theft Auto 4. We even talk a little bit about the old Super Mario Brothers games and how Super Mario 2 is not the real Super Mario 2. So it's actually a quite interesting interview. It's not up right now as we're on the air live on Sunday nights, but it will probably be up by the time this goes up on the podcast feed. So you can check that out, gapodcastnetwork.com. It's called Mostly ITP. So I did get a chance to play a few games, finally, because the site was up all week. Little did I know. I was able to get a hold of two Nintendo DS games. So the first one I'm going to talk about a little bit is Guitar Hero on Tour. Now, this is the portable Guitar Hero. Now, I know Guitar Hero Aerosmith launched today, and there were launch lines everywhere, and that was the big news in the rhythm game world. But I picked up Guitar Hero on Tour. This is a little doohickey that latches on to the bottom of your DS Lite. And there is actually a way, if you still have a DS Fat, it does come with the attachment that plugs into the DS Fat, because essentially what it does is this thing plugs into the DS, or not the DS, the Game Boy Advance slot. It's like an option pack, kind of like how the Rumble Pack works and stuff. It comes in the configuration to work with the DS Lite, which means that the little thing that you plug into the bottom does not actually fit into one of the DS Fats. So you actually have to use a screwdriver to unscrew the connector, and then you put in the other connector, and then you screw it in, and then you'll be able to use it on a DS Fat. I haven't been able to try it on a DS Fat yet. We do have one here, but it's my girlfriend's, and it's been with her, so I haven't been able to try it in hers yet. And it does come with a little pick that has a little stylus edge on the end. And it's got a little strap, and it's little sturdy, well made. My fingers are too big for it. It actually feels like I really should only use three fingers on it, even though there's four buttons on it. And it does cramp your hand, and they actually know this, because when you turn on the game, they actually have a little thing that says every 15 minutes you really ought to rest, because your hand will cramp, and you don't want to hold it in a specific way, because then your wrist will hurt and stuff. So it's not a game that you're going to play for a long time, because it's awkward the way that it works. So essentially, the way that you play, it's just like normal Guitar Hero. You have the four fret buttons, and the notes are on the left side on the left screen, and on the right screen is a guitar. And essentially, what you're basically doing is you're using that pick as the stylus, or you can just use a normal stylus if you want. And you strum by swiping across the DS screen and holding down the fret button, just like you would in Guitar Hero. Now, what this means is that you're constantly picking the stylus up and putting it back down and trying to scrape across the screen, which really doesn't work all that well when you're playing on Hard and Expert. What I've noticed on Hard and Expert, especially in one of the first songs in the thing, I think it's We're Not Going to Take It is the one that I'm thinking of, where it's got a whole lot of like eighth notes and 16th notes, which normally you would do by just going up, down, up, down, up, down on the strum bar if you were playing a normal Guitar Hero game. Well, with this, you can kind of do that, where you don't have to actually pick the stylus up. You just strum right, left, right, left, right, left over the strings. But that's not entirely accurate, and it will drop a note sometimes, because you don't have the click, and you don't have anything stopping you, because I know like the Rock Band guitar doesn't click when you hit the bottom. But that makes it actually kind of harder to play on Hard and Expert, because you're trying to do these really fast riffs by just waggling on the touchscreen. Now, to do the whammy bar, you just waggle on the touchscreen as well, which actually means that you can't restrum by accident long notes. So if you've already hit the long note, and then you accidentally hit strum again, it's not going to register it. It's going to register it as a whammy. So that's actually one good thing if you're prone to accidentally hitting something twice when it's really a long note and it won't stop the note or anything. And the star power in the game, you can do it several different ways. The recommended way is for you to scream rock out, but obviously that isn't something you really want to be doing a lot, especially if you're in a public place. And it doesn't work, because I even tried it in my best rocker voice, and it didn't work. So, but you can blow on the microphone, and that will activate star power, which actually works a little bit better than having to like tilt the entire instrument up. But, you know, it does have that sound effect that comes on, and it'll throw you off if you're going by the sound. Or you can hit any of the buttons. Or you can tap the star power gauge, which sometimes I was strumming along, and my stylus went up towards the star power gauge and meant that I hit star power. So, all in all, it is, it's Guitar Hero. I mean, it is a fun little game. It's unfortunately not one you're going to be playing for a long amount of time because of its limitations on your hand physically and just the way that the room they had to work with on the DS. So, if you're really looking for a Guitar Hero on the go, this would be okay, but it's not any kind of replacement for the console versions. Tiger Claw asks, does the game have multiplayer? Yes, it has. It doesn't have like the one cart multiplayer. Everybody has to have a version, obviously, because you actually can't turn on the game without the peripheral in the Game Boy or in the Game Boy Advance slot. But yes, there is multiplayer, not online. It's just like local DS to DS multiplayer, and there's the duels as well as the straight scoring. So yes, it does have multiplayer, but both people have to be within 30 feet of each other and both have to have Guitar Hero. Hey Jude says, I always feel like a tool when I'm playing Phantom Hourglass for the DS in public and have to blow into it. Spanny asks if I can demonstrate my best rocker voice, and my answer is no, I will not. So that's Guitar Hero on Tour. I would give it probably a C+ on a grading scale. Obviously, I have not completed it yet. I've only unlocked three of the areas that you can play in. I'm on a parade float right now, which is weird. But pretty much, I'd give it a C+. I mean, if you really want a Guitar Hero on the go, give it a try. But I will warn you that, you know, my hand is too big for it, and I don't have that. My hands aren't all that huge. So be warned of that, and it may actually, it may only have four frets, but it would actually be kind of hard for you to hit the blue note and stuff. So that was game number one. The game number two is one that I actually haven't gotten that far in, but it's one I've been looking for. It's called The World Ends With You. It's by Square Enix, and it's a RPG, kind of. It's action RPG-ish. Basically, it's about this kid. It takes place in, I guess, modern-day Shibuya, which is a part of Tokyo. It's the busiest intersection in the world. And if you've never walked through this intersection, you really ought to go do it. Because I've walked through it once, and it is huge, and there's a mass of people. Basically, it takes place there, and it winds up, it's a game called the Reapers game. And it's very convoluted, and I'm not even far enough to really understand the plot yet. So it's one of those that has the plot that slowly develops, and you really don't know what's going on, and it doesn't really make sense. But it basically, Europe, you play this kid who is in this Reapers game, which you have to have a partner, so he partners up with a girl. And they're both 15, so get that out of your head. And basically, they have to go kill these creatures called the Noise. And they have to basically do these missions. They give you these missions each day, and you have to solve them within a time limit. Although that's kind of misleading because they actually show the real time on your DS, and it doesn't matter. Like if they say you have to get there in 60 minutes, you don't have to get there in 60 minutes. They don't actually keep track. But essentially, you have these tasks and stuff, and you know, killing the Noise using these things called pins. Now, the combat is what everybody's raving about in The World Ends With You. The combat also is one that I won't be able to do. It's very confusing, and maybe if I really worked at it for several hours, I would finally be able to get it, but it's frustrating, and you don't have to do the full portion of the combat. So essentially, the combat takes place. They do use both screens. Okay. On the bottom screen is your character, and on the top screen is your partner. You use the stylus to move your character and attack the other monsters on the screen. So if you have the stylus on your character and you move it to the left, he runs. Now, if you have, like, I think it's the fire pin, you put the stylus down anywhere where there isn't an enemy and then create a line, and that creates a line of fire. Or if you tap an enemy, you can actually throw bullets at them if you have that pin. Or you can slash an enemy either horizontally or vertically, or you can slash up to make an icicle, and that's basically how you attack. And these pins, you can use them until they run out, and then they recharge. And so you have to keep track of that. So that's the combat on the bottom screen. At the top screen is your partner. And at the same time that you're running around dodging attacks and attacking people on the bottom screen, your partner is attacking the same enemies, but in the top screen. They're not in the same screen. The enemies exist in both worlds or something like that. And so you have to use the control pad to input in combos for the top screen player to attack. And you have to work together. And then you also have to use the D-pad a little bit later on to have them jump or dodge. You actually have to control the top player. Keep in mind, you're also controlling your player on the bottom screen. And you can't see yourself on the top screen. You can't see your partner on the bottom screen. So you have to. So real good players, to play it the way that the developers intended it, have to be able to watch both screens. Now, also, for a combo type of thing, there's this green orb of energy that surrounds one of the players. And when your player has that orb of energy and you make a hit, that orb of energy goes up to your partner. Then when they make a hit, it comes back down to you. And it's basically you're trying to play a volleyball match, back and forth, hitting the ball back and forth to each other. So I think that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to concentrate on the bottom screen until the orb goes to the top. And then you concentrate on the top screen until it goes back down. But then I tried that, and I died. Because, and you'll have one shared thing of health. So, like, it's kind of funny. Like, the health meter, it's on the bottom part of the top screen, top part of the bottom screen, and it goes toward the middle. And so, like, if the person on... So, either one, you know, can kill both of them. And it's actually not when you reach the middle. It's when they meet. So, like, if the top player, like, never got hit at all, the bottom player could lose twice as much health as what's on the screen, because it would go up until it met in the middle with the top player. Luckily, there are actually settings in the menu where you can set it to say, don't worry about the top screen. I don't want to control the top screen. Have the computer control the top screen for me. And early on in the game, it does a respectable job. The fusion thing comes up, which is when they guess enough cards or whatever. It'll play the top screen for you. And you don't have to issue any commands or anything. Or you can set it to say, do it for me if I haven't done anything in 3 seconds. But I have it set to just auto start. I don't want to deal with it. And so far, early on in the game, it's okay. To do that, I haven't gotten it far enough in the game to know if that's going to bite me later, but I really don't care about ever using that top screen, and if I can get through the entire game without using that top screen, hooray. Now, there is a fatal flaw in this game, and it's partly my fault and partly not my fault. Maybe more my fault than anything else. I did grow up in the old adventure game days of save early, save often, where you saved a lot because you could die at any time. Well, I saved early, but apparently not often enough. And essentially what happened is on, I think, day 5 of the first week, there's multiple weeks and there's 7 days in a week. I don't think that's a spoiler. But on day 5, I'm going through and I save at the beginning of the day and go through and I'm buying pins and I'm buying clothes, because the fashions actually do play a part, but not as big of a part as they make it seem. Essentially, you can buy clothes, which would be your quote-unquote armor, but it would give you stat boosts, but they have brands, so they're brand name clothes. And whenever you enter an area, you have to go check to see what the brands are that are in style. And so, like, if you're wearing the clothes that are in style for that area, then you get, like, double attack or plus 50% or whatever. And if you've got one that's out of style, then your attack is halved. However, after, like, one or two fights, they change to be like the ones that you're wearing. So eventually, the clothes you are wearing, no matter what, will eventually be the ones that are in style for that area if you stay enough. But anyway, I was playing around. I got some new clothes. I got some new pins. I leveled up some pins, went through part of the story. And the next thing I know, I'm at the end of the day. Didn't see it coming. It just happened. I was attacking an enemy and then, beat that enemy. And then here comes the big boss. And 15 seconds, I'm dead. Boom. Game over. Main menu. Now, I didn't save, which, is partly my fault. However, from what I understand, after you defeat this boss battle, and this may be a spoiler, but it may not, they actually give you the ability to retry a battle if you fail. Now, I can understand if the game is not going to let you retry a battle if you can only go back to your save point. But if you're going to let people retry a battle, give them that option earlier in the game, like maybe after the first boss fight. Or, if you don't want to give it to him immediately, or, better yet, give it to him at the beginning of the game. Don't make it an option you have to earn. But no, so now I've got to play through that day again, which, granted, was probably about 30 to 45 minutes maybe, including all the grinding that I did to level up those pins. But don't give the hard boss fight and then give you the option to retry after it's kicked your butt several times. I don't like that design decision. So be aware of that, a boss fight can come at you at any time. You may not realize that it's coming. And save often. Don't just save early. Save late, too. And don't not think that a boss battle's not coming up. Spanny says, this is the first game I've ever wanted to play solely based on the coolness of the title. So essentially, but the game itself, barring those two things, luckily you can avoid the top screen and not use it. And you do eventually get the chance to retry things, just save often. I give The World Ends With You a very, I give it an A. I really enjoy it. Now, it's not an... It's got action elements, it's got RPG elements. It's not like any other game you've played yet. And there are elements of it that may be too complicated for you, like they are for me. But luckily, they work it into where you can not play those elements. And they do actually give you an easy level, easy button later on, where it makes all the fights easier. And right now, I'm playing on normal. You people would be proud of me. I didn't flip it down to easy immediately. I probably should, but I'm playing. So they have normal, and then they're going to have hard later on. I think you unlock that as well. So I give The World Ends With You an A. If you can find it, I actually found a couple copies at Best Buy, but it's very hard to find at like GameStop. They did issue a second printing of The World Ends With You. So if you can find it and you're into RPGs and stuff, I think this is a great RPG from Square, and it's a shame that Square have said that they're not going to make original content anymore. They're just going to focus on Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest, because this one was a good one. It probably would sell more if it was called Final Fantasy The World Ends With You, though. Pen15 asks, Bobby does scores EGM style yet now? And yes, actually, because I don't want to give an actual score, but people want to kind of... people like having grades, quote-unquote, and especially PR companies, when they send you a review copy, they do want a number back, but I don't give them a number, I give them the grade. And I think that's kind of the fairest way to do it. That way you don't have to wonder if I'm giving it an 8.8 on the 7 to 10 scale or on the 1 to 10 scale and stuff. So people know what I'm saying. And Dark Tetsuya says only an 8. No, I said A, as in the A that's the second letter of your name, Dark Tetsuya. Tiger Claw says we should call it The World Ends With Final Fantasy. That would be cool. It would have sold more. It really would have. So let's go through some news real quick, because I think I spent a little more time on that than I expected. I'm looking at the time now. Wow. GamesIndustry.biz reports that lawyers who won the hot coffee legal case over Take-Two and Rockstar Games have expressed shock that very few people have made a claim. This is about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Those who bought GTA San Andreas could file a claim for between $5 and $35 if they were offended by the infamous hidden sex games, but so far only a paltry 2,676 people have bothered to do so. 2,600 gamers out of the millions and millions of those who bought San Andreas were offended to get the money. Seth Lesser, lead lawyer for the plaintiff, says, quote, "Am I disappointed? Sure. We can't guess as to why now, several years later, people care or don't care. The merits of the case were clear," unquote. So basically, this is saying that the biggest winners look to be the 11 law firms who brought the action as they attempt to claim the $1.3 million in fees compared to the less than $300,000 which Take-Two will pay out to claimants. So essentially what that's saying is Take-Two is really only going to probably have to pay out, you know, maybe $300,000 to actual customers, but the lawyers are going to get $1.3 million. This lack of interest is seen by some as the case was meritless from the very beginning. Theodore Frank, director of the Legal Center for Public Interest at the American Enterprise Institute, said the effort to claim $1.3 million will prove the case against Take-Two was worthless. Quote, there are two possibilities. Possibility one is they have a meritless lawsuit and they're selling out to the class for attorney's fees. The other possibility is that, and I frankly think that this is more likely possibility, they brought a meritless lawsuit that had no business being brought to court at all, unquote. So, hot coffee is over, and nobody cared. Anybody here file a claim? I want to know, did anybody in the chat file a claim about how offended you were that there was a sex minigame in San Andreas that you couldn't get to without modifying your game? Hey Jude wants to know, out of those 2,600, how many just wanted the money and did not care about hot coffee? Pen 15 says those 2,600 games are all game journalists that didn't think it would work. I did not file a claim. Just wanted to say that. I did not file a claim. So the big game that came out, or not came out, but the news that finally came out, there was a splash screen on the homepage of the company's company site that changed over the days. And then finally Saturday, Diablo 3. It's coming to your PC. So Blizzard Worldwide Invitational, they announced Diablo 3, and showed a cinematic trailer, which was all CG, a gameplay trailer, which was all gameplay, and an artwork trailer, which was all concept art. So everybody should be happy. You got so much stuff, and they even demoed the game on stage at the Blizzard Worldwide Invitational and stuff. It's going to be kind of like Diablo 2. It's going to be a hack and slash co-op play with other people. They're going to have a new version of Battle.net, which is also going to be used with StarCraft 2. And there are some other improvements that they've made to it, but they really want anybody who can use a mouse to play this game. You know, basically, if you can click on a mouse, you can play Diablo. They showed a few new classes, and I'm skimming through the stuff that I had wrote down. They showed a few new classes. They've got destructible environments, like, you know, you can smash down a wall to crush enemies, or the players can smash through walls and doors. Realize this is a 3D isometric game. It's not going to be like a first-person game. And also, they're going to talk about how there's going to be random quests. Basically, Diablo would always have the random dungeons, where the dungeon would be different every time you'd go in. Now, the quests are also going to be random, and there's going to be things that will happen and cutscenes that will happen that are dynamic. It's going to be a different experience, even the quest side. There's going to be more on-screen monsters and with sounds and effects to make the player characters feel crazy and over the top. This is from an interview with MTV. And also, they do want to say that, you know, they're going to try to keep the hardware requirements pretty low for this one. They want to support the broadest set of systems possible. Now, also, somebody had asked them if they were actually considering making the game for players of World of Warcraft. And they actually said during this Q&A section that, quote, "Not really. We want to make a game for Diablo players and people who love Diablo. We don't worry about finding an audience. We don't worry about World of Warcraft either. It will just continue to do well. We think there's plenty of room for both games," unquote. So it's going to be Diablo. It's not going to be Diablo for World of Warcraft players. It's not going to be World of Diablo. It's not even going to be an MMO. It's going to be, you know, you create a party of four or eight characters, and you go and you click on monsters repeatedly until they die. You just keep clicking. And so, you know, some people have been wondering, oh, well, you know, obviously in this day and age where PC gaming is quote-unquote dying, it's going to be a console game, right? Well, Joystick actually did have a chat with Jay Wilson, who is one of the people in charge of Diablo 3, and they asked him, Point blank, do you have any plans for Diablo on consoles? And he says, no, we don't have any plans. And that's it. And also, they did ask if there were any plans for mobile or any other platforms, or is it purely PC and Macintosh? And they said, quote, right now we're just focused on PC and Macintosh. I think we've got people who are focused on mobile stuff, and I'm sure we're going to be having conversations with them on some point on what we can do. But in terms of talking Diablo 3 as a game to mobile, I doubt it. Pen 15 jokes that everything is random, including the game disc when you buy it. It may just be Diablo 2, World of Warcraft, or Jaws the Revenge. Why did you have to invoke Jaws the Revenge in this? Ame Satsuma starts to click on me until I die. Unfortunately, I'm using a cheat, which apparently they are actually going to be protecting against cheaters. The new Battle.net has a better cheat detection system, which, from what I understand, like duping and cheating and stuff really kind of ruined Diablo 2 for people playing on Battle.net before. Mr. Elusive says there's theories that the purple penguin displayed in the CSS file of the splash sale pages could allude to a Linux port. And yes, Pen 15, I did say that Jaws the Revenge was my game of the year for last year, 13.5 out of 10. Everybody should go get it. Not really. So with that, we are going to be taking our quick music break, and then I'm going to actually be playing a voicemail that we got. See, people, somebody did actually leave a voicemail, and we're going to be playing it right after the break, and then taking your calls. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio online at allgames.com.
Hello, this is Chris Phillips from the new All Games show, The Chrisville Experience. Over the past several months, All Games' very own podcast, The Bobby Blackwolf Show, has been suffering from a crippling and often life-threatening disease, a disease that is all too common among independent gaming podcasts at this time. New bumper deficiency, or NBD, can strike quickly and without warning and leave listeners of the show frustrated. The effects of MBD have been obvious. Every week, Bobby has been forced to play the same Mario bumper time and time again, which has led to mass terrorist bombings in the Middle East, despite the overwhelming success of America's War of Terror. As a result of hearing the same Mario bumper over and over again, many youth in the United States have turned to violence, and video game activist Jack Thompson calls MBD the greatest threat to America's youth since the release of Bully. However, you can help. For just moments of your time, you can send a new bumper to The Bobby Blackwolf Show. Simply call Bobby Blackwolf's Skype line, The Bobby Blackwolf Show, with your name, and welcome the great listeners of the show back to it. Together, we can stop NBD. Remember, the life you save could be your own. This message was paid for by the National New Bumper Deficiency Agency. Copyright 2006. Watch the Chrisville Experience anytime on allgames.com. Seriously, welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio.
See, if you don't leave new bumpers, I get to play the old ones like that for a show that doesn't even exist anymore. I don't think Chrisville does his Chrisville Experience anymore, and we didn't even port it to the new site. But welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. If you want to leave a bumper so I don't play that one or the Mario bumper or the other ones over and over and over again, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. And or you can send me an MP3 to blackwolf@allgames.com. So I wanted to go ahead, and before I took calls, I wanted to go ahead and play this voicemail that I received from Ghost World. I'm going to go ahead and play this. He talks a little bit about Metal Gear Solid 4 as well as some other things. So this would be Ghost World. I got to actually hit some things.
Hi, Bobby. This is Ghost World ringing from the UK again. I just got a couple of comments, not really questions, but just comments about a couple of things. The first one being Metal Gear Solid 4. It is an absolutely amazing game, and it has to be said, if you own a PS3 and you have any inkling of liking Metal Gear Solid 4, buy it. Simple as that. You're going to be, you know, very, very pleased you did. But I just want to say a couple of things about it. I think one of the biggest problems it actually does have, the cutscenes, although spectacular, are too long. And I think this is more to do with he just doesn't know when to stop. There was two or three times in that game where I was like, this is the best cutscene I've ever seen in my entire life. But he then just carries on and he goes into every minutest detail and you're just like, I no longer care, just move on. This is the most apparent right at the end, not giving away any spoilers here. You get right to the end of the game, and I have to say, I was jaw on the floor. Oh my god, this is the best thing, one of the best things I've ever played. And I went from that until 45 minutes later, when the final cutscene finally kicks in after end after end after end, and I was like, just stop. Somebody needs to give this man an edit, and this would be a fantastic game. My other criticism is, I don't think enough people actually talked about the actual gameplay element of it. I just feel that it lacks something. I think it has some really nice stealth sections, certainly level 3. But it just... Well, actually, level 2, fantastic. Level 3, just frustrating. Level 1, misplaced. I think that should have been somewhere later in the game. And the time you get towards the end, I mean, certainly the on-rail shooting part, I kind of lost interest. So, fantastic. If you're a Metal Gear Solid fan, buy it. The second thing is, Rock Band got released here last month. You know, 6 months later than you guys in the US. That, to me, is the best game I've played this year. I know we're a bit late, but it's amazing. I absolutely addicted to the drums, and I have to say that it's primarily thanks to your score. I just keep looking at it, and I've gone from being an easy class drummer and poking myself in the eye with a drumstick to being able to play on hard, fairly competently, trying to catch your score. I'm only 60k away, so one day you never know. But hey, feel free to use this in the show. If not, then it's just a personal comment to you. And yep, keep up the great show. Really, really enjoy it every week, and I hope everyone's else doing fine. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you very much, Ghost World, for your voicemail. And you know, if you start beating me in drums and Rock Band, I'm just going to remove you from my friends list so I can stay at the top of it, because I'm on top of everybody else on my friends list. But no, that's cool. I just thought about it. And actually, Sub-Z in chat, he was saying, you know, the English dude is wise. Then he said, screw the English dude. The cutscenes are great. So thank you very much, Ghost World, for this. Some people want to know what system you're playing Rock Band on. But I'm assuming it's Xbox 360 because you said I'm on your friends list. And that's the only one I'm playing Rock Band on. So I'm going to open up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about anything in the industry, or anything we've been talking about, or anything in gaming, whatever you want to talk about. So we do have a caller here on the line. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
First time caller, Pen 15.
Okay, so I figured this out. Okay, Itagaki, I want him to work on the next Mario.
Why would he do the next Mario?
Because it'd be awesome. Could you imagine him doing Mario and putting ninjas in Mario? I mean, it'd still be rated E, so they'd be all like, you know, cute little big-headed ninjas, but wouldn't that be awesome?
Actually, that would be awesome. I would love to see that. Pretty much anything that he does, I'd love to see.
Excellent. So what's actually on your mind this week?
Well, I had the pleasure of playing a demo known as The Bourne Conspiracy.
All right.
And it is complete ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to describe it. It's terrible. I'm very upset with Kropotkin because he said it wasn't an automated QuickTime event fest, which is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically all the cool stuff you see in the trailers and the ads that Bourne does. That's basically the B button.
Okay, so it's one of those that's trying to dump... Because, I mean, I guess with the Bourne Conspiracy, they're really trying to aim it at people who saw the movie and thought the movie was cool. And so, I mean, I guess, is that kind of the problem, is that it's geared mostly towards people who don't play games all that much?
I'm perfectly fine with that. But the upsetting part was that Kropotkin specifically said that it wasn't this automatic BS where you're practically doing nothing. All you're doing is, you know, QuickTime event over and over again. Because the combat, you know, is basically like three moves that he has. Three very boring basic moves that he repeats over and over again. And then when it says hit B, you hit B. And that's it. That is the whole game. And it's 4 hours long.
Yeah, I did hear that it was a very short game, which means I may actually go pick it up or at least rent it for a night and play through it.
Yeah, like, you would like this game.
Oh, well, thank you.
I say that because you don't like shooters, and if you, like, put it on the easy settings, because I played it on normal and then I played it on easy, I could see you enjoying even the shooting section and stuff like that. Like, it's not for hardcore action fans. So I could imagine someone liking this, but I specifically was asking Kropotkin when he came on your show
right.
to talk about this game, and I asked him about three or four different occasions, are you 100% sure that it's not all QuickTime events, that you actually get to do all that cool stuff? And it was like, no, you don't get to do any of that cool stuff unless you count pushing the win button, essentially.
Right. Well, that, you know, I mean, I guess he was seeing it. This was when he was at the Play.com live event in London. And so, you know, I'm not going to try to defend him. I mean, you can have your own feud with Kropotkin. He'll hear this and probably respond. But, you know, I don't know if he was actually playing it or if he was just watching someone else playing it. And I know that, like, demo techniques, there's ways that you can make it look like you're doing more with the controller than you're actually doing. So, you know, I don't know if that was fully Kropotkin's fault or if that was just the way that it was being demoed to make it look cooler to him. Because sometimes they won't let you actually have hands-on time with the game, that you watch somebody else play it. So, you know, yeah, I'm sure he'll listen to this, and then I'll get a statement from him in rebuttal to see if, you know, he was actually playing it or if he was watching someone else play it.
Which, by the way, I never want to hear a preview that does not involve, you know, hands-on play.
I'll keep that, like, in mind.
That's becoming very, like, a lot of previews recently start out with, we watch them play, and I'm like they did this with Guitar Hero World Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, then your words are pointless to me because you haven't played it.
Yeah, and that happens to me sometimes. Like, I remember at E3 last year, I was trying the new Knights game for the Wii. They weren't letting people actually touch the controller and play it. You could watch someone from Sega demo it, and that's because it was really, really, really buggy. And in fact, even the guy working at Sega still ran into a bug and the game crashed while I was watching it. But I mean, that's kind of the reason they do it. But yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand that, you know, you wouldn't want to hear a preview about a game that, you know, they didn't actually put hands-on time with it. But, you know, sometimes that's to learn a little bit more about the game. Sometimes you got to start with you watching somebody else play it because maybe they didn't iron out all the bugs. And, you know, they're not comfortable with somebody who doesn't know the code not looking at it. And also, they may think that, you know, just a regular journalist who's sitting there just trying to play the game wouldn't see some of the things that they want to highlight, and that's why they have somebody go through the game for them and say, now look at this, see this part over here.
Well, actually, I think the E3, that happening at E3 is totally forgivable because that's sort of the norm at E3, but sort of having it all year round, mm-hmm. like, I prefer when they just say it's a first look, because you're just looking at it, you're not actually playing it.
Right.
A preview kind of suggest that you actually had your hands on the controller.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'll remember to say it, because when I go to E3, I'll make sure I'll say it's a first look or a preview. How about that?
There you go.
Okay. Anything else on your mind?
I also played the Turok demo and
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Although I was smart enough to turn up the lighting on my TV super high.
Uh-huh.
So the part in the dark was totally easy for me.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
But aside from that, I just basically spent all week yelling at my 360 playing terrible demos.
Right.
So next week, Dark Sector.
There you go. So thanks for your call, man.
All right, Bobby.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. What up, Jesus? Is anybody excited for E3 this year? I am, but that's because I'm going. And it's going to be nice to be able to see people. Again, I use E3 more for networking than really for the games and stuff. And so it's going to be nice to, you know, see some of the people in the gaming journalism world that are going to be there, and it'll be nice to run into them and catch up with them, because I didn't get to go to GDC where everybody else went, so I didn't get to see them. What up, GS? Are you more excited for PAX? Yes, I am more excited for PAX. PAX is going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. And actually, I've been working... I will say that I have been talking to some of the organizers at PAX, and I will have some very good news. I just can't talk about it right now. But I have been talking to organizers at the Penny Arcade Expo, so you'll want to stay tuned for that, and hopefully we will be able to talk about it very soon. I'm just trying to finalize some of the details, but it's awesome news. Dark Tetsuya says they don't want people to inadvertently stumble into areas they're not supposed to see. Actually, I can talk about real quick a story. When I was way back when I was one of the moderators over at G4, the television network, I was the moderator of their forums. The only one in the beginning, back when it was all about gaming, before they took Tech TV and before all that stuff. I actually went to the first G4ia out in Los Angeles, their award show. And it was basically, they had the award show up front, but then they had all these game demos in the back. They had Taiko no Tetsujin there, which they were actually focus testing. They had a Namco rep there to focus test that to become Taiko Drum Master here, and they did release it because of the positive experience they got at G4ia. But up in the VIP lounge, they had Fable. And this was the first time anybody had really gotten to see a playable version of Fable. And I went up there, and they were actually allowing attendees to play Fable. So I played Fable. And I'm sitting there, I'm doing things, and the next thing I know, the camera's flying around somehow, and I'm not controlling the character anymore. Well, it winds up that I hit whatever magic button combination by accident to enter the debug mode. The programmer's debug mode, where you can fly around the world and all that stuff. And the person that was supposed to be, you know, demoing the game as well, you know, talking you through it and telling you information about the game, didn't know how to get out of it. Like, they had no clue. And somehow, like, they didn't know how I got into the camera level, but they knew it was in there. But they thought it was some magic button combination that nobody would ever hit, and I had hit it. And so they're probably worried about things like that, especially if they don't have somebody standing there at the kiosk. That, you know, it is usually a debug version of the code. It's not a release build of the code. And sometimes they will, you know, not want you to go in there because you may unlock some of these things. And that would be bad. Amaze Satsuma says, Bobby will be on a panel at PAX about what games should be made by Itagaki. You know, I think Itagaki doing a Harvest Moon game would be awesome. And maybe doing Imagine Ninjas, because you know the Imagine series, they sell a lot of units over there. The Imagine series is huge, and Itagaki working on like Imagine Ninjas or Imagine Boobies, that would be really cool. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio Sacramento. Are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby Blackwolf. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What games do you think should be made by Itagaki?
What games do we think should be made by Itagaki? How about everything?
Everything.
Everything.
Rockstar the game.
Yeah, gosh, this is almost the topic of conversation we had on the last show. Games we'd like to see. I'd like to see Itagaki make a puzzle game.
Right.
And make it slutty.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the OLR dream. Can we say slut on your show?
I'm sorry.
All right.
There's already Gals Panic, though.
Well, one of the OLR dream games, you know, I don't know if you've ever visited our Wikia, which the community has created for us, and it's awesome. It's orangeloungeradio.wikia.com. We have a list of the OLR dream games, because for a little while there, like every week, we were like coming up with a brand new dream game we wanted to see until Loki finally put the kibosh on that and said, too many games, we need to slow it down. But one of the dream games we had there was Puzzle Sluts, which is a game where, you know, to make a puzzle game more appealing to mass audiences, even though puzzle games typically do appeal to mass audiences because that's casual games. But anyway, to appeal to the rest of us, we thought, why not put some sluts in a puzzle game? And I'm not talking like Bubble Bath Babes because that was stupid, but like a real, you know, puzzle game that just happens to have some sluts. And I think Itagaki would be the perfect person to make a game like that, don't you?
I do. And, you know, Bloodshot Robot says Pimps of War.
Or Pimps at Sea.
Yeah, Pimps at Sea. There we could go. He could go work for Bungie. Arr.
Beijing Olympics 2008.
I found the best thing ever on Akihabara News.
What's that?
It's an RPG clock. And I'm sorry, a bank. A money bank. That has a little RPG mode in it.
Wait, is it what, your bank role plays? What is that?
It has like a little a little LED screen.
Uh-huh.
And when you put your money in, it buys items for your characters on the little RPG.
Oh my gosh. So like encourages you to save money.
It's called Monster
Bank. Because that's like some people won't do any effort if it's not to level their character or something.
Something like
that's
that.
That's crazy.
They also have one that looks like a bomb, and when you put enough money in it, it actually just goes off and dumps all the money out all over the floor. It's so useless.
Wow.
Don't save. Spend your money instead.
Tonight on Orange Lounge Radio, we have the one and only. We'll have little bits of randomness just like that. And the one and only Tommy Tallarico is actually coming on our program tonight. I think every other show on All Games has had him but us. So it's finally our turn to get Tommy to come on the show. And it's great because Video Games Live, you may or may not know, they have a CD coming out very soon. So we have some of the details on the worldwide launch of the CD.
I'm jealous because I've been trying to get those details out of him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll email you when I get details on it.
We got it tonight.
Yeah. They should have like an animated cover on the CD where you tilt it in certain directions. It makes it look like he's changing costume.
Yeah, and we will ask Tommy about the costume changes. Guarantee that we will ask about that tonight.
Because that's a burning question. People need
to know. We asked. Look, the OLR, it's what gamers really want to know.
Right.
And gamers are sick about hearing about G4 and Judgment Day. We're not going to ask them anything about that because that's old news. We need to know about costume changes at Video Games Live and the necessity. So
gotta have priorities.
Exactly.
Do you think Itagaki should make a game based on Video Games Live?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Do you think Itagaki should make a game based on Video Games Live?
No. That'd be boring.
No, I don't know. It'd be two kind of different worlds.
Unless it's about destroying the hotel room after the concert.
I would like to see Video Games Live incorporate some Dead or Alive, possibly, into their routine, because then they can show, you know, some of those big boobies on the screen.
And have live action Dead or Alive.
There you go. Now we're on to something. So maybe not necessarily Itagaki needs to make a game on it, but Tommy needs to talk to Itagaki. Write that down. I'll have to ask him that later.
Okay.
He'll have to. What Itagaki should make is a console. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what comes next. But Itagaki is a true rock star of video games. There aren't too many, but he's a rock star, so therefore we worship him.
And speaking of rock stars, Orange Lounge Radio is up next, orangeloungeradio.com. Have a good show, guys.
All right, you too, Bobby. Thanks for having us on, as always. See you in a little bit.
So that's it for us. We'll be back again next week here on All Games Radio. You can catch us live over at allgames.com or allgamesradio.com and interact with the show directly next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Feel free to leave us a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper for the use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can join our official forums at allgames.com when they're back up to take part in our community. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. DC Nate, Hendrix, Tedekin, The Rob D, Printing Paper Sun, Burr, Channel Z, Funnydale, Mako, Maximilian, Metal Gear's Liar, Mr. Elusive, Seymour Booty, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, AGN, Ake Ripper, Alpha Cananogram, Amaze Satsuma, Ash Fox, Binary 667, Bloodshot Robot, Boomy, Camel Pope, Clef 5, D5T, Dark Tetsuya, Decipher, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, D-Man, DMN, NDA59, Firecube, Footy Monster, Game Guru, Gaudy, Grave, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Havoc978, Hecht, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Indo, Interlogic, JP the Prodigy, KDog96, Kulex, El Frost, Melted General, Misty, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nextil, Pen15, Prowler, Punchy, Q4Q, Shadow Next Gen, Spanny, SSJ100 Matt, Subzy, Sully907, Sunbun, TDB30, TM95, Valerno, Visid, VXJSNXV, WhatUpG, Wilcon, and Zappy. So, Tommy Tallarico over at OrangeLoungeRadio.com. Itagaki should make a game about flowers and long walks on the beach.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.